Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record, sir?
My full name is Richard Shaw.
And your ADC number, sir?
066486.
Thank you. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412B parole hearing to consider parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see on your teleconference screen, to my extreme far left at the end of the bench is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. After him is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. To my right is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for your hearing. I see you pulling your phone away. Is my voice coming in too loud?
Yeah, it's coming in pretty loud.
Okay, let me lower my microphone. Is that any better?
Yeah.
How about now?
It's still pretty loud.
Okay, I guess I can't control that. I will begin the hearing with the following summary. Mr. Richard Shaw is 61 years old. He was certified eligible by DOC for 31412B parole to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. He's currently serving 14 years of imprisonment for molestation of a child, part and parcel of a 10-count consecutive prison sentence, including multiple charges of molestation and sexual conduct with a minor. The incident offenses occurred on or about the years between 1981 and 1983. He was approximately 25 years old at the beginning of the crime cycle. He was convicted by jury trial on January 13, 1988, and sentenced on February 18, 1988. According to ADC time computation, he will be parole eligible for his current sentence effective February 15, 2018. If passed to his next consecutive sentence, he will have a 14-year sentence for molestation of a child with another 5 21-year sentences for sexual conduct with a minor. I will now read a brief summary of the offenses in question. Between the end of summer 1981 and May 1983, Mr. Shaw molested his two stepsons on several occasions at different locations where the family resided. The molestations incorporated acts of mutual masturbation, fellatio, and anal sex. Sometime between 1984 in May 1985, Mr. Shaw was overseen into a dozer area near the city of Catalina, where he pointed a loaded gun at the youth and accused him of doing drugs. In January 1987, Mr. Shaw's older stepson informed authorities of the molestations and the assault. On January 12, 1987, Mr. Shaw was arrested and booked into Pima County Jail. Mr. Shaw has completed limited programming in ADC. He has a release plan that includes living with friends and opportunities for employment and catering and trucking. Again, this is not regular parole that's at stake, but if he was eventually released, that would be his plan. He has a moderate history of discipline from 1988 to 2010 with no majors, so I certainly commend you, Mr. Shaw, for having no recent discipline. It's been a good 7 years. And there have been no majors. This is your ninth hearing before the board. We have no letters of support in your parole packet. And I don't believe we have any supporters in the hearing room today. Is that correct?
No, I don't think there is.
Mr. Shaw, we have all new board members since your last parole hearing on October 6, 2008. This is an opportunity for the board to get to know you. So can you tell us in your own words about the crimes that led to your incarceration, sir?
Well, it's been so long, and living in this place is, I don't try to even remember them, you know. It's in the past, and it's nothing anybody can really do about it. So I am remorseful. Sorry that I was so stupid and selfish, but it's in the past.
Sir, I see you've completed some programming inside the correction system. Am I correct that there are no treatment programs for sexual offenders at this stage of your incarceration, or is that anything you can volunteer for?
No, there isn't anything like that. Is this, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. No, there isn't anything like that here for someone with my length of sentence.
Help educate me a little bit, because I'm still learning about the correction system. I've only been on the board for probably about 8 months, and there are still points of corrections that are new to me, but when would that be made available to you? Do you have to be close to release before sex offender treatment's available?
Yes, you have to be within 4 years, I believe, of your earliest release date.
Is there any particular reason why you have no supporters today? I noticed that your plan included living with friends in Golden Valley.
Yeah, that's true.
Go ahead, sir.
I just wrote them too late, and then I got a letter back telling me that he wouldn't be able to make it, and I forgot to put in there that he could have wrote you a letter on my behalf in support.
Do you receive any other visitors inside the prison system, sir?
No, I haven't. No, I do not have any other visitors.
Any relationship left over with your former family?
The majority of them who used to visit have all passed away.
I see that you have not had... Let me double check on this. 1 second, sir. I had stated that you had limited discipline inside the Department of Corrections and nothing since 2010, so again, we commend you for that, but how have you been able to stay out of trouble all these years?
Well, I basically just live my life and do my job and pray, and I have Bible study, and I, you know, just staying out of everybody's business, out of their way, not trying to be a bother to staff or other inmates.
What are your current duties inside the prison system, sir?
At this present time, I'm working as a laundry laborer and taking Spanish classes. I'm attempting to learn Spanish.
Do you receive any pay for doing that job, sir?
Yes, I do.
Do you have restitution that's still owed on your prison sentence?
No, I do not.
I know you stated that the offenses in question are in the past. Help us understand what led to your cycle of sexual abuse with your children.
I don't know, that's a difficult question, and it's like we were all kind of young, and it was just the environment that I was in, you know. The wife I had, she was, we were all pretty promiscuous, and one thing led to another.
Do you continue to be attracted to children? Is that something that you would seek treatment for? What are your plans?
I really was never really attracted to them in that way. It's just, no, I'm not. And it just happened. It's something that I really don't understand myself. But I'm no longer attracted to them.
At this point, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any further questions of you, sir.
Sure.
Any questions? Yes, Mr. Johnson?
Sir, I know Mr. Kenyon has asked you the question about getting any letters, but your your sons, has that caused a split in your family household, sir?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Are you still in contact with your, it was your wife, are you guys still married, or what is that situation?
No, I divorced her about 5 years into my incarceration, and I haven't heard from her since 96.
So what inspired it? Didn't appear that this looks like this is just something that happened immediately after you got married with the boys. What sparked that? Is there something that wasn't your intentions when you got married to her, was it?
No, it was not. I don't know. I guess it was just drugs. I was using drugs. There's really not any excuse for that type of behavior, in my opinion. It's just something that you might start, and you probably, I believe I was regretting it all the time, knowing that it would probably be some kind of backlash on it. That's basically it.
The kids stated that you were a good father, a stepfather, with the exception when these incidents occurred.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Yes, Ms. Whitnos.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. Mr. Shaw, how old were you at the time of the crimes? It looks like they were in the 80s. How old were you?
In the 80s, I was 20, in my early 20s.
In your early 20s? Okay. And I'm also reading in the pre-sentence report that's done by Pima County. It refers to your wife as the co-principal. Did your wife also receive probation or prison time for this, the crimes?
Yes, she received probation.
Oh, she got probation. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Pianos.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Just a quick question, follow-up question on that, Mr. Shaw. With your ex-wife receiving probation, was she separated from the children?
The children were, they were over 18.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Any further questions? Yes, Doctor.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Kiwanis. Mr. Shaw, this is a sensitive question, but I just want to ask it at any rate. You have so many more years to serve, and yet you seem to be pretty optimistic in terms of your discussion. You're a very articulate person. You indicated earlier to Honorable Mr. Kiwanis that you've taken Spanish, and so you're still optimistic that there might come some time when you will be back out in society. Am I correct, sir? My misstatement. I know this is sensitive, but I just want to ask at any rate, sir.
No, that's okay. I'm trusting in the Lord to deliver me out of this. I know what He can do, and He knows my heart. He knows who I am. Do you have anything other than DOC wanting to keep me in prison over there, which I don't believe?
I was just asking, it just came across when I looked at all of these charges and I looked at all of these SED dates that are listed. But back to what your answer that you've just given me, how long have you been trusting in the Lord, sir? I mean, has it been...
Way before I came to prison, I was... I knew that the Lord was with me, and I know that I shamed Him. I shamed myself and my family and friends. But
I guess, you know, and I apologize. I don't want to take up any more time with the board than yours, but you were trusting in the Lord before you committed these offenses, and you continue to trust in the Lord. In your mind, how could you commit such offenses since you were trusting in the Lord? And I'm not asking what religion, nothing of that nature, but you trusted in the Lord, yet you committed, I think you admit that you committed these offenses. You don't deny that. Am I correct, sir?
No, I would not deny it. I do not deny it. I did commit those offenses.
And how could you do that with someone trusting in the Lord? How could you, you know, in your mind, how could you somehow justify that? Or, you know, I know you're much younger.
I'm not trying to justify it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, excuse me. I'm not trying to justify it or anything like that. I'm just saying that people do stupid things, and I know that. I've been watching it and living this life for, like you say, over 61 years, and at least 5 years of it, cognizant of what man can do. And I'm not the only one in this world that does stupid things, and who has, but you do learn eventually that how stupid the things that you do. And it's no fixing it after you've done it. So once you really realize that, it kind of changes you a little bit and gives you a different outlook on life.
My final question, sir, is I know that you, because of policies of Department of Correction, you haven't been able to take any sexual offender classes. But have you thought about any triggers that might have resulted in your behavior at that time? Anything that might have made it that you ended up committing those offenses, sir?
I've taken a sexual, it's like an, like the AA, Sex Anonymous.
Okay.
And I went through that whole program for a while to see what caused it and what was my triggers and what, you know, what led to this. And I still have the same opinion that sex is really powerful, and once someone allows you to have sex with them, and if you fall into that trap of it, it's hard to get out of it.
Thank you so much, Mr. Shaw. Thank you so much, Mr. Scoggins.
Thank you, Doug. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, you just made a statement. You said once someone allows you to have sex with them, this wasn't a situation that these young men allowed you to have sex. This was a different situation, wasn't it?
No. Well, in a way it was, and then in a way it wasn't. You know, when you're in have authority over someone, and as a stepfather I did, I guess I can't accuse them of being participants, but willing participants, but they were. I never threatened them to, if they exposed me, and I would hurt them or anyone else in the family. I'm just saying that.
They were submissive according to your authority, and when they weren't submissive, it says that you would get you would get violent.
I think that was they were told that by the prosecutors to do that, because that's not the way it was at all.
Okay.
And do you have any letters stating that or anything?
No,
other
sir.
Than just their testimonies?
No, sir. I'm just going over the information that we have here,
yeah.
Which is the pre-sentence report that we have, so we don't have the complete report. No, sir.
It was a dynamic of the household.
Okay.
That I was living in.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions from fellow board members? Okay, Mr. Shaw, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you'd like to make before the board, before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat yourself, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else you'd like to share?
I would just like to know, is there anything that the board could do or to let me know that would, you know, help me be able to get a parole to another number or to absolute discharge?
Well, sir, I think it's safe to say that every time an individual comes before the board, it comes down to the individual votes of the independent voting board members. Certainly we encourage continued good behavior, programming, support, but I can't tell you at any given time, based on the totality of a case and where that inmate has arrived in the rehabilitation process, how the board's going to vote.
Okay.
Is there anything else you'd like to share, sir?
No, that's it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
The board is going into discussion now. Mr. Shaw, it may sound like we're speaking with you, in as much that you can see us and hear us. We're operating under the open meeting laws, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir. And thank you for being so pleasant to the board.
Okay.
Fellow board members, I'll begin the discussion by saying that Mr. Shaw is 61 years old. He has another 119 years worth of consecutive prison sentences. And I am open to some sort of encouragement for his good behavior in ADC. This is not to say that I approve of his past behavior. I just recognize that he has a very long series of consecutive prison sentences. But that's the opinion of one voting board member and where I'd like to begin the discussion.
Mr. Quinones, thank you. I feel like although Mr. Shaw doesn't deny committing the offenses, he's just flatly not willing to talk about them at all. Wouldn't tell us anything about them. And I don't understand that. So it would help is willing to talk, but I'm just not feeling comfortable.
Okay.
With that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Mrs. Rittenhouse. Any further discussion?
I was kind of just disturbed by this incident, what had occurred, and although he's not been in any much trouble, or he's nice to the girl, to the boy, it just appears as though he doesn't fully accept responsibility for his actions. He said that basically when you are involved in a situation, pretty much that this is what's happened, but this was something that wasn't certainly, I don't think any of these victims were willing participants. They were, you know, forced through a figure of authority, and that's a problem. And I do see that he has, you know, several consecutive sentences that he has to serve, but I don't see that as a reason to, just based on that, to pass him on to his next consecutive sentence.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I would agree with my colleagues. As you know, that this is his first time appearing before this board since 08. And I would just like to, although he's articulated well and he sounds somewhat optimistic, I would like to get to know him just a little better as one board member before paroling him to his next consecutive sentence, sir.
Thank you, Doctor. Mr. Neal?
I agree with Dr. Wright.
Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and we will see where the votes fall. Again, I do commend Mr. Shaw for staying out of trouble in ADC for the last 7 years, but due to the serious and deviant nature of the crimes in question, it can be argued that the release of Mr. Shaw would create an undue risk for public safety. Therefore, I am going to make a motion to deny parole to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. I think if I'm, no, this is, 1 second. Yeah, this is, no, this is after 1984, pardon me.
Count three, it looks like it's the count he's on, and that was 1981 to 83, according to the sentence.
Yeah, but I think he was sentenced in 88.
80, I thought it was 81.
The day of the offense, right?
The day of the offense.
Okay. Well, then I don't think we have the mechanism of asking for 1 year set off.
I do not.
Okay. So again, initial motion is to deny parole to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge, and my reasons are as follows, and that is serious and violent offense, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, age of the victim. I think that's
multiple victims.
I don't think he had much in the way of prior criminal history.
Before we go about that, can I just ask a question?
Yes, sir.
When someone has several consecutive sentences, does the rule of prior or after 1984 apply to the original sentence? Does it apply to each sentence? Like in this case, counts 1 through 9 were before 1984, then count 10 was after 1984, although he still would be on one of those counts.
I'll go with the original one, 1981, all of them, because that's when you originally, yes, sir, committed the offenses.
Okay, so pre-84. Thank you, sir. So again, serious and violent offense, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, major victim, multiple victims, lack of programming, no family community support. Is there anything else that I am missing? colleagues? Okay. So I will, just for the sake of clarity, read it again. My motion is to deny parole to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. And my reasons are serious and violent offense, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, major victim, multiple victims, lack of programming, and no family and community support. And that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Shaw. The board has voted to deny parole to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. Were the reasons clear to you, sir?
Yes, they were.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you appearing before this board. Again, we appreciate your demeanor. And this board will be, if we're still the same board that we are, should be seeing you again sometime in about 6 months. And this concludes our hearing, sir.
All right. Thank you.